It's The Job Pod with your host, Elijah Drown, a career advice podcast for you. Search The Job Pod wherever you love to listen to podcasts.
There we go. And thanks again for joining. This is great to have you for episode 3 already.
Episode 3. Time does really fly, doesn't it?
Absolutely does. So we did 2 already: equity, consciousness, beauty behind diversity. So if you haven't heard those already, you need to hear those first, because that's kind of the basis, the foundation of why you started everything today.
Absolutely. Yeah. I think when in the nonprofit sector, you really like evolve in your life and what you're passionate about. And then the nonprofit sector, or even if you go for profit as a small business owner, it just allows you to live out your passion and have a great life. So
speaking of having a great life, you had a great job before mm-hmm. the nonprofit. See things differently. You had you still have a PhD, you had a great degree, you had all this going on for you, probably six digits and plus on the income side. And then you decided one day, poof, no thanks. How come?
I think you start to think about the impact that you're having and the impact that you can have. And I was working a lot and losing sight of myself, in essence, of the hours and time that was being devoted to the work. And so I just really believed that I needed to have a better work-life balance, and did some real soul searching of what was it that I wanted to leave as my legacy? What is it that is important to me that I would lose sleep over, and that I would get lost in the amount of time that I was doing. And I felt like the amount of time that I was spending on the road and not with people, you know, just like to get to the people logistically and whatnot. And there were just a lot of things that I thought I could do better with my time. Loved, absolutely loved all of the people that I worked with. Loved all the people that I got to meet through the work. It was not a super easy decision by any means. And I don't even know, you know, like, to be truthful, I don't even know that I was confident enough in myself to say, I'm leaving and I'm doing this for sure. And so when I spoke with my director, I just said, you know, I know that it's time for me to go. I don't know what's next for me for sure, but I just appreciate the time that I've had here. And we discussed my exit plan and what that would look like, so that they were all supported and I was supported as well. So it wasn't an easy decision, but what drew me in was this creative side that I have and this ability that I have to be insightful, and what kept coming back every time that I would reflect and sit down and look at my notes was just more and more elements about being able to get into some research of my own and be able to get into more authentic conversations around mind shifts and equity consciousness. And so that's what I did. I ended up first just thinking about the research itself. And my sister at the time had a nonprofit. She works in the opposite spectrum. She's in dementia and Alzheimer's, and works with senior care. And we had a conversation and she said, it's tough. It's not an easy route to go, but it's just every day is so rewarding. And that has stood very true.
Was she the catalyst? You said earlier that it wasn't, I guess, up to you, really. You thought yourself, I'm not ready to go. I don't feel confident. Did she help kind of push you out into the creative space?
She didn't really push me out. She was a great sounding board. We actually lost her unexpectedly the same week that I left, my actual role was completed. So that was really very tough. And I think that I think that and learning how short life really is, and having had a major health scare myself previously, I feel like you live life a little differently. And so then at that point it was, I'm going to get into this research. And then as I was getting into the research, I'm like, well, I'll, you know, work on developing a website at the same time and fill out the nonprofit. You know, she had sent me everything she had done for her nonprofit. So I had a model to go after. And that was very helpful, even though we were in different fields. It's a lot of paperwork. So she helped put it into perspective. So in many ways, it wasn't a push from her. I think it was coming alongside me. And then the loss of her really helped me realize that it's essential to have more of a balance in life.
It's nice to have a sidekick in your heart to keep things going along, right? And maybe even when you start your ebook, or when you did uncover all that in the project, you said something that really triggered me in a positive way, Anne. While many of us are not responsible for creating a legacy of living unconsciously, we do have a responsibility in what we do with the legacy in our current day. I think that's really fitting, especially what we're talking about. When you hear that back now, what comes to your mind?
You know, my daughter was kind enough to make me a grandmother at a very young age. I wasn't 12 when I had her or anything, I promise. But so I look at that generation and my generation and the generations in between. And when I think of that quote, I really think about the opportunities that are on offer, and the yearning and understanding that there is something more, and there is a lot that we're missing by not valuing diversity and not being more inclusive in everything we do.
Is that something to do with the Shine event? Saw a bit. You're spending some quality moments with your granddaughter, having some shakes. She's looking adorable, of course. And in this Shine event, do you take her to these events that happened? I know, depending on how things go, it'll be just around recording or release time for the episodes early May. She participate, help you out?
Well, she won't be able to this time because she will be here in North Carolina and the event is in Florida. So we've got the miles to deal with. She still is in school. Yeah. 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 But, she's there in every essence of it, right? Like everything that I do, I think about, the world that it's leaving for her, and also the conversations that I get to have with her. You know, if you ever have the chance to talk beside a 3-4-year-old, and just ask them their thoughts about different things, it's so interesting what kinds of answers you get. And a lot of times I feel like I get so much more realness from her than I do from people my own age, right? It just gives you that spark. So yeah, she will be there. She'll be there in heart, and she'll be there in everything that I've planned. I was making some swag for the event, and she was working beside me at the desk and very excited about it. I don't want to give away, you know, what it is, but she was just like, it's going to be really great. We have to share these with other people. You know, she just, cause that's what, you know, like I teach her, you know, we can do a lot ourselves. And when we can, we do. And so she got to have a lot of conversations with me about it and how it's important to help people feel valued and special, and to bring out the best in everyone that we get to have in our sphere of influence.
Is she an old soul like you? Do you see her having a friend that helps, that has dyslexia, needs a little hand when she starts school?
You know, I do see her. She's just starting to recognize the friendship approach, right? And she's talking about everyone is her best friend today, and then they're not tomorrow because they had to leave early for the day or something, you know, like just like elements that fall into play that are just amazing. That cuteness right now.
Yeah.
But yeah, I see her changing the world. You know, like her mom, both my kids, I can say I'm so proud of. They took their own routes and they knew what my preferences would have been for them potentially. But I always taught them that I'm not living their life, that they need to be able to be genuine in what they do and how they do, so that they can have their own impact. And I couldn't be more proud with the way they both have gone about that in very different ways.
What did you anticipate that they would do early on as a mother versus what they ended up doing, if I may ask?
Yeah. So, you know, what's interesting, and it's actually a big part of my story as well. My daughter specifically was able to go to shadow OBGYN, and it really touched her. And that's what she was going to do. She was going to work with new moms, deliver babies. And I was really sick about 11 years ago now, I think it was. I had stage 3 breast cancer. And she was just starting, had just finished her freshman year, I believe, and was starting her sophomore year. And the incredible care that I had with the surgeons and the nurses there, and the importance that she recognized a family, she changed course and became an oncology nurse and is stellar in her field. Like, I've not met anyone that she works with that hasn't come up to me and complimented me on how she's impacting not just her patients, but them as well. And so I'm really proud of that. And then my son, he killed me a little when he was in high school because he didn't want to go to university. He had a scholarship to pay for 75% of his school if he went to a public university in Florida, and didn't want to do it. And I could just see how it was eating him up and turning him into this different person. And so here's this person who has so much impact and work in higher ed, whose child doesn't want to be a part of that. And I had to allow him to do his own path. And he ended up going to a design and animation visual effects school at Universal Studios, loved it. We made agreements about his involvement in paying for that too then. And then at his own time, I always had my children work, even if it was just a day a week or an afternoon, just to get that work ethic in place. And so for him, it was with Chick-fil-A. And he worked in Chick-fil-A in all different roles and responsibilities. And even when he was at the Dave school, I said, you know, you're going to still, like, when you're on break or a night a week, some, you know, whatever it is, you're going to still stay connected with that. And so he did, begrudgingly. And then it switched for him. You know, he got out and he was working on a video game, and it was taking years, and he was doing it as freelance. So he wasn't getting paid until the game would be released. And he was seeing how many hours it was taking and how it was essentially taking over his life, balance wise with social life, and decided to go back and get his bachelor's degree. And, is now in the leadership program with Chick-fil-A, looking to be an operator within the next couple of years. So very proud of him. You know, he went his own route and he needed that time and that experience. I don't look at it like it was a waste. I look at it like it's what he needed. And he's able to mentor others now and be in such a better place because I didn't give him that pressure of what he had to do. I gave him the opportunity to make his own mistakes and grow from them. And I think everybody deserves that.
Remember that forever. Awesome. Mm-hmm. Leaned in the family a lot, but I think that's really important because you integrate family into the whole nonprofit space to creativity, to your own goals, passions, dreams. What actually, we never talked about services. What do you actually offer with CN? Maybe we should talk a bit about that.
Yeah, no, absolutely. So with C, the equity consciousness is available as a teaser test. So when you go to our website at seethingsdifferently.org, a pop-up will show up about 20 seconds into your perusing the content. And that gives you a little teaser test, like I said, of the equity consciousness so that you can kind of get a feel for what we're about. There is a full assessment that's a part of the equity edits, which is a resource that helps you then not just know where you're at with your equity consciousness, but gives you the tools and equips you to be more successful with valuing others and recognizing the strengths and beauty of diversity and being more inclusive. And so those resources are what I was mainly working on these first year and a half, 2 years. And those are no cost to anyone. I'm not like doing a spiel here. That's just available for the public to use. And if anyone desires to be coached through that or to have support in the organization where there would be like equity walks or conversations around cultural relevancy within the workplace and building in your diverse, valuing the diversity that you have in your workforce or recognizing that you don't and that you're lacking in some areas. Those are things that I can be scheduled to come in and do like as a consulting level. But I also spent the last couple of years writing some blogs so that people could have a lot of information available once I started launching. Already have that available on the website. Now, I haven't done a good job. If you go to the community page where the blogs are, I haven't done as good of a job keeping up with when I do interviews like this or have conversations or live streams. There's a place there for collaborations that just has a placeholder, and I need to get that work up there so that people can always like go back and revisit that in a place that they can count on it being there. So that's what I have available. I also am just starting this year doing fundraising. I self-funded my first couple years, and I did that because I really believed in myself and knew that I needed the time and was able to do that. And so now I'm looking at fundraising in a way that it is also equipping people. So like with Shine, it's about bringing women together so that they can value their own stories to have a lasting impact on the legacies they leave. So it's a weekend that offers opportunities for people to come together and grow and laugh and learn and even have some tears of laughter and some tears of, okay, I've got some work to do, but I'm supported with this community. That's very important to me. So there's a lot going on that we are doing. I'm looking this year, there's going to be some publishing of some resources that go a little pocketbooks that go into each of the tendencies of the equity consciousness, as well as that goes a little deeper into the concept of equity consciousness and how that plays out. And then on the flip side, I'm also collaborating with an amazing illustrator in writing some children's books that will be provided to hospitals, pediatric wards, go home with babies at the hospital so that we can at a very early age start to educate on diversity and inclusion.
Gonna risk asking this, Anne, but do you get funding? You know, are there opportunities to receive funding and scholarships or just bursaries from the state of Florida or nationwide?
So not yet, you know, and people have asked me why not. And I can tell you honestly, because when you're wearing all the hats, when you're wearing all the hats, like everything from making sure that the hacker that breaks into the website, you know, gets cleared out and you have a functioning website, to writing the content, to networking and everything in between. It's this like, where do you land now? And how do you go about it? So my intention is to be able to write grants and get some grant funding in. I'm not in the position now because I didn't have loads of savings. So I'm not in the position where I can hire someone to do that for me yet, unless they were able to come in and like do a percentage or something like that. But otherwise, it's up to me to dedicate that time. This is the time of year that I need to start doing that. And I realize that. So I will, over these next few weeks, transition to writing grants and we'll see where it goes.
When do you think you'll be ready to take on volunteers to support the cause, to get that squad, that team, that the bigger movement to get C moving?
I feel like it could happen consistently over this year. I think a couple of things need to come into play first. I have had I've had two volunteers that have worked with me. One who was just a great sounding board that looked at everything through another lens, and that was really nice. And then she also was working on a little bit of the background work in regards to how the website was being received, and was it giving us the response that we wanted. And that was to like have people really engage and go deeper. She was able to go in and look at all that, those analytics for me, so that I didn't have to take the time to do that. And then I've had another person come in and work with some marketing with me. And that was a huge help and just made me really think, you know, like how I want to make sure that I get to a point where I can have a team that can do that, because I can see, and we have some big dreams coming up that are going to become reality. It just is a matter of getting all of the steps into play.
It's just, where do you spend your calories? What's more important? And when do you stop yourself from pulling your hair out? Maybe. It's right. Crazy. Awesome. Yeah,
it is. Well, and it's also, you know, I'm a content person. I am a people person. My work was in learning design. My work was in facilitating professional learning, teaching higher ed. So it is like, there are some things that I'm learning, and am I getting everything right at the first go? Not necessarily, but it's been a great adventure. So I highly recommend it for anyone who has a great passion, because even if it is that a part of what you do, it just is so fulfilling.
That adventure will continue for many moons. But for now, people, to get inspired, go to seethingsdifferently.org. We'll have that in the episode description, and make sure people know about you. And it's been great chat. Say thanks for so much opening up a bit about your family, a bit about what you're doing, and all this inclusivity that you're passionate about. Thank you.
Thank you. Yeah, you get all of me when you get me. So I appreciate the time. It's been fantastic. Thank you.